Oh, yeah. The Ali and the Bee. Cold morning, we've been there. It's Phil who was good enough to send this Jerry Monroe's Sally album. What a piece of work is this?
He is musical genius.
It is getting toward it, isn't it? I'm just sorry David Cassidy has to be here this morning to promote his own product in the face of this. That's all. Oh, well, let's put on the regular tune, shall we? Which is just as powerful, of course. Good morning, David. Thank you very much for being here early, waving at the television and entertaining us and finding out that you and Amy, who knew, were cousins.
Who knew?
It turns out.
Amy and I have been sharing New Jersey stories down at the shore. It's interesting because in California they call it the beach.
Uh-huh.
On the East Coast, we were brought up, it's the shore.
But that in itself is who knew, because you're always associated with California.
I'm a New York boy.
Yeah.
New York, New
Jersey.
Never
knew that.
Now, I know most people don't, because in the Partridge family, by the time I'd been there, I've been living in L.A. for 8-9 years. I moved back to New York, actually, after I graduated from school, and went to work in Manhattan, and was studying at the time, got a Broadway show.
Which was what?
It was called Fig Leaves.
Okay.
In fact, Alan Sherman, you know, uh-huh. Hello Mother, Hello Father.
Of course. Yeah. And Elvis. Yeah.
Hey, Hello Mother, Hello Father.
If we had it with us, one of the few moons I don't have that with us, we could have been the other side. And Alan Sherman was in it with you?
No, he wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it?
Yeah, and Albert Haig, actually, who's a fantastic musical writer. Alan Sherman wrote the lyrics in the book. You can tell I haven't been awake for long.
No, come on.
Just starting to...
That's all right. Back in New York, yeah?
I was discovered on Broadway by someone from CBS Films who brought me out to L.A. As soon as the show closed, which was after a week on Broadway.
No.
We did... In those days, you went out, you did 6 weeks on the road, then you came in and we previewed for a month.
Yeah.
So I actually was working on the show for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
But my Broadway debut was only a week long.
A week long, because
it got bad reviews.
Yeah, but in terms of some other productions, that's some good legs it had.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
It was actually
a blessing for me, because otherwise I couldn't have come out to do a screen test for a movie that I did not get. In fact, an actor by the name of M.K. Douglas, who later became Michael Douglas.
Really?
Yeah,
what,
he and I were about a year apart in age.
Yeah.
But I looked 12, and he looked all of 19, which is what he was. And I was 18 at the time. It was a college, it was in the late 60s, it was a college rah-rah kind of protesting kind of movie. Terrible movie. But from there, I got a lead in a guest shot called Ironsides.
Oh, sure.
And then I did a Mod Squad, Marcus Welby, and all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my career took off. At the end of the year, I did a pilot called The Partridge Family, and from there...
What happened to that?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean.
But did you ever do any commercials? Are there any commercials out there where you're leaping around in?
No. During The Partridge Family, I did a commercial for Rice Krispies. Which I was on the back of, because they sponsored our show.
Have you seen this man? It's
no. I mean, there was a full cutout on the back of Rice Krispies boxes of me. So I turned the box around. I'll never forget it. Honestly, I had one line. And it was a picture of me in the morning pouring the cereal and showing the picture of Rice Krispies, turning it around and going, wake up like me. Wake up to Kellogg's Rice Krispies.
Hang on. We mustn't laugh over this, because we want to use this every morning. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just do it.
Shall I do it for you?
Let's do a recording. I'll cue you in on this. I'll cue you in. Okay.
Wait. No. I'm not doing this. Do you know why I'm not doing it?
Go on.
Because last year... What am I doing?
No.
General Mills sponsored... my track of I Think I Love You.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And it's part of their, it's part of their commercial. I'm not in the commercial, but my song I Think I Love You is in it.
Oh, I see.
They have been absolutely fantastic, I have to say. Right. And for that reason alone.
Then change Rice Krispies to the Candy Man, which is what I am, you see, on the show. So David Crosby.
Hold on. Where's the crack pipe?
David Crosby can have the Rice Krispies. You can have the Candy Man. David Cassidy speaks.
Cut my hair.
Now you're talking. You mentioned you were in the late 60s on the West Coast scene. Were you like at the festivals and stuff? Because it seems incongruous, of course, the Partridge Family and the...
It seems in Congress because that was a character on television.
I'm aware of that, but
performing
you were stuck with it for a while, though.
Wasn't I though?
But were you ahead? Were you ahead?
No, I wasn't. Well, I was part of the culture of the '60s, and in those days. You know, you try and describe to people, if you weren't around, to know what it was like. Uh-huh. It was, there weren't like South Americans with machine guns, you know, dealing crack in South Central Los Angeles.
No. Uh-huh.
It was like hippies that would, I went to a love-in, a couple of them, in fact, in L.A.
Uh-huh. Were they billed as such, or did they just turn into
it? I hitched up with a friend of mine during the summer of love to San Francisco to the Haight.
Ashbury,
and
yeah.
In Haight-Ashbury. And spent one night up there, and... We slept about 2 hours, uh-huh. and we went to Golden Gate Park the next day.
Oh!
And they were handing out at the park. I mean, this is hard to imagine. It's like a little tiny space in time that if you weren't around, there was a genuine feeling, and I would honestly mean this, my political ideology much more aligns itself with that uh-huh. than as opposed to gangster rap.
No, what are you getting to?
I'm looking at the news here. I'm seeing 15-year-olds murdering 14-year-olds.
You are leaning against an open door here, my friend, because we said that's about it. About 74, that'll do us. Not always the way, but...
It's gotten to a point where this world that we live in is just so... Between 9/11, September 11th in New York, where I was born a half a mile from there. And raised until I was five, about 10 blocks from there.
Uh-huh.
It's become really hard for me to cope with it.
But you never hung out with the dead, so to speak, and stuff, did you?
No, but I hung out with some pretty heavy people. I went uh-huh. to a party with Janis Joplin, and, you know, I was 17.
Yeah.
Before I was ever in... I mean, I was just a kid going to high school.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'd drive our cars up to the Strip and go up to Laurel Canyon.
Uh-huh.
I moved out at 19. When I moved back after doing the Broadway show, I moved out. And a friend of mine got a...
I'm bringing
right.
an appropriate song.
Tin Soldiers and Nixon coming?
Yeah, listen to this. Appropriate enough.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair.
This is the spirit.
Please come to Chicago just to sing.
It's a Grammy Graham Nash from Manchester via Los Angeles to Chicago here. Just let the chorus ride, and then we'll be back to celebrate. We're back to celebrate A Touch of Blue, of course, which is the latest. Here we go. We can all join in with this. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you.
We can bring. We can change the world.
Change the world, and we should.
That's it. And Graham Nash did his damnedest. If he only had stayed off the dope for 2 hours, I believe he could have made a difference. We'll be right back with David Cassidy. Where you go, Monica? You're thinking, come on, Dan, which rare groove, late 70s, early, or maybe early 70s funk groove are you laying on us here? This is the opening track on the album, A Touch of Blue by David Cassidy. Now, it surprised the hell out of me there. I actually looked at the faders, thought I faded up the wrong thing. This is intentionally recreating.
Cut live at Capitol, where Frank Dean, Sammy, and Joey are.
We were touching upon that because.
I didn't want to ruin your.
Oh, shut up. Let me hear it.
I never seem to know what you are thinking. You are thinking.
There's a bonus album here as well, I'm seeing. Yeah, forgive me for talking of it. We're just using music to illustrate conversation or the BBC revoke our license.
Oh.
But, there you go. You know, but if you've got the remote controls out, you can press the red button and you cut out our vocals. They can hear that. But that's the way we work around it.
You can't play music.
We can play it to illustrate conversation.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
No,
well,
in the half
whomever day. This gentleman is, I must say, he is a very seriously gifted man.
Yeah, I believe so, and I believe he can be.
What a groove. Is he black?
I believe they were clearing out a warehouse and came across the Lost Marvin Gaye album, and here we have it.
Here we have it.
Here we have it. That's it. So how did you come by this sound all of a sudden? What are you making a point here, like you were saying a moment ago?
No, it's just all cut live the way I originally cut all my records and songs back in the 70s. Cut live, in fact, with a couple of the same players. Bobby Hall.
Bobby Hall, you bet. Yeah.
And Mike Melvoin, who's playing keyboards and arranged... We'll play maybe another track, and I'll talk a little bit about. We cut with live orchestra as well, and
Bobby,
we did.
Bobby Hall, I saw him with Bill Withers when he came over once.
Oh, Bobby's legend.
Not too far from.
She played on a number of my records in the '70s.
So they, it was the other band. It was Bill Withers at the time. It was on. And now I'm going to be thinking. Anyway, but this is an intentionally sound where you want it to be organic and you don't want it to be airbrushed.
No machines. Nothing.
No.
We cut it all live, and I mean, obviously, we brought the girls in afterwards to do backgrounds, and they were amazing.
Yeah.
These are all. They do all kinds of gospel. Those girls.
How much compromise do you have to make in your live act then to people who want to hear the hits as opposed to you just, grooving?
This is a hit grooving. This fits right into my show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I play blues and everything else.
Uh-huh.
I play Rock Me Baby. I play, you know, I mean, hits are hits. Great songs are great songs. I play a lot of my hits, almost all. You can only give an audience one or two new tracks that they don't know. That's it.
You say
that's
that.
That's it.
When I used to go, and sometimes we sit here with people, I mean, you know, someone like Elvis Costello who says, no, I'll be playing all the new album. Nothing made my heart sink. Like, I bought a ticket for a concert.
Guess who I won't be going with?
But Elvis occasionally throws the audience a bone, but I'm glad to hear you say that.
Oh, hits, no, you got to. No, you got to. I mean, how else do we... If you go to see any artist, you have a relationship with that artist through the music you know.
Uh-huh.
If you don't play the music you know, they know, then you're, as much as they may love you and think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, they're still staring going, I don't know this song.
No, wait a second, David, because we've had so many emails this morning from your fans, and, I mean, they're so dedicated.
I'm going to say... emailing you if they saw what I look like this morning.
We've got Isabel, May, Kathy in Edinburgh and Glasgow, Maria in Harrow, Veronica in New Zealand, Jerry, Jill, and Debbie here in London. Uh-huh. We've had Mary, Erin, Keely, and Tara here in London emailing as well, all saying, we love you, David. We love you.
Yeah, have a look. One or two of them maybe for me and Mark. Have a look. I don't know. Just check out.
Well, you have to forgive me if I sound a little brain dead this morning. I was up late doing a television show.
Oh, you were on Graham Norton last night.
I was on Graham Norton.
How did that go?
Great.
Yeah?
Fantastic. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
Yeah,
he's a very funny man. The show was great fun.
So how long are you around for now?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
No, I take that back. I was going to leave tomorrow. Now I'm going to leave on Sunday because I'm actually going to be taken out for the last good day of flat racing. And I breed horses.
I was
going to
say, yes, of course I know that. How's that going?
It's going great. I'm actively working with the New York Thoroughbred Breeders Association. And
Did you go broke doing that every now and then?
No, it's a great business for me. I've been... I don't do it just as a whim. Like,
No, but even
here's a couple of £1 million, then let's go buy a couple of horses. Show it!
No. But there are people who do that.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not one of them.
But do you keep your hand in your pocket at the track, or do you gamble as well?
I don't gamble much at all.
Ah, that's the key, isn't it?
I gambled a bit at the Breeders' Cup, which we just had. A lot of the European horses were over there.
Uh-huh.
A couple of British horses did extremely well. High Chaparral, Irish horse, but nonetheless... I think, you know, for me, it's a great passion, and it takes a lot of time and energy and management. And
so if you got a...
I have now a difficulty because I spend so much time on the road, and I spend so much time going from place to place
That was just leading to this.
Keeneland is going on right now. The biggest mixed breeding sale is going on in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And I'm over here doing this, and my friends are calling me at night going... You have no idea. Why aren't you here? Well, I have to do another radio show tomorrow morning.
Let us not hold you back from your
my passion.
Your straws of sea.
Exactly right.
Your straws of sea biscuit sperm. I'm sure they're being sold even as we speak.
Secretariat, mate.
Secretariat. That'll be that. So what do you do when you goof off? How do you goof off?
That's how I goof off.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I go to watch my horses train, and I go all over the country, but they run a lot in New York. They run a lot. Mostly in New York. I deal with breeding in New York, but we ship our mares to Kentucky and to Florida, and they train in Florida for a while until they're...
How about days when you've got nothing to do? Do you sit around the house with your pants off watching old movies?
No, I watch racing sports a lot. I watch baseball a lot. As you can see, I sang at the World Series.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, two weeks ago in Florida.
And were they good to you? Because they're a tough crowd sometimes.
They're fantastic. It was one of the highlights of my life, honestly. I'm a huge baseball fan.
And what did you do? What did you sing?
I sang God Bless America.
I was going to say, but how did you do it? Because some people go out there and they do avant-garde. They try a little Frank Zappa on them all, don't they? Or was it Roseanne the other year? Just shouted it at the end.
Oh, no.
That didn't happen.
I am a singer, by the way.
I'm aware of
it. No, I went for it and just did an a cappella. And it was pretty amazing.
Did you well up? Did you...
But, well, you know, it's an emotional thing for all of us now. Having, if it meant anything to you, if you felt a sense of loss, or if you feel a sense of loss about the world that was prior to 9/11, and especially if you're from New York, as I am.
And
I have a New York Yankees and Florida Marlins hat on, as you can see. I grew up in New York. I'm an avid Yankee fan. And because I now live in Florida, I've been going to the Marlins games. So they're in the National League. They never play each other during the year.
I just hate to know about this.
Baseball is American pastime. And,
yeah, I'm aware of it.
And great. I mean, it's like as if you grew up around Liverpool, you'd be Everton or Liverpool. Or
Sure.
If you grew up in Manchester, it's Manchester City, who I happen to fancy because I played Main Road and the team.
Oh, really?
Everybody. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but
you've never heard of my team. You've never heard of my team.
What your team is?
Millwall.
Millwall, I've heard of Millwall.
Have you really? Oh,
yes.
Rag that piece out.
Millwall.
David Cassidy saying I've heard of Millwall. Play it.
Really? What have you heard about Millwall?
No, shut up.
What division are they in?
Doesn't matter. We're in first.
First division?
Yeah, but not Premier. We're in the...
Well, no, first division is excellent, though.
Thank you very much.
Come on.
I can't believe you heard of Millwall.
Of course I have.
Fantastic.
No, I lived over here. You know,
I know you did.
I worked in the West End, and I'm a big sports fan. And I got in soccer. I can't call it football because I'm from America.
Yeah,
exactly. That other kind of football.
Just by the way, you're not aware of this, but we are playing the album Under Us all the time. I'm just hearing this, and this sounds beautiful. Learn to see all your life. Have you ever met the worked or Paul. Met with the Beatles, yeah?
Yeah. I became very good friends with John. And,
oh, yeah?
Spent New Year's Eve with him. After I did my last world tour, New Year's Eve, I had a few people over, and a mutual friend of ours brought John. And by the time he got there, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. We were all absolutely pissed, drunk. And he was completely gone.
When was it? What year are we talking about?
We're talking about 74-5.
Okay, yeah.
He was out making the rock and roll album.
Oh, okay, so just before you didn't kick him into that Lost Weekend thing. It wasn't your fault.
No, he was in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was in it. Right. Trust me. as was I for a short while,
I've
too.
I've heard those stories, too.
Yeah,
though.
No, but I mean, it was fortunately, we're neither one of us... Well, he was in the papers all the time, because he and Nielsen were out getting crazy, you know, and doing it publicly. At least I was in the confines of my house.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came over, and we were nuts, and it was an hour or so after he got there, we went into the annex to my bedroom. It was a big music room, and I had a couple guitars, and we began...
I was going to say that.
We began playing, because I was 13 when they broke, and I bought an electric guitar. I learned all the early, in America... The songs were Meet the Beatles.
Yeah, that's right, the first album. That's right, yeah.
So I learned all those early songs.
And you did them with John Lennon.
And I got to sing Paul's parts. But this song, Blackbird, which is on the new CD, is one of the... You had to be able to play this, otherwise you weren't cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's on the White Album.
We'll do a little more. Only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Beautiful. And it is A Touch of Blue, by the way. And it comes with, I've noticed, the bonus CD has the hits on it.
Has all the hits on it,
Tackle comes, you're so wiped out. Because, I mean, I'm joking here. Anyone who looks on the webcam at the moment can see, you look about, like, 17 still. but believe me, you know, you look about 17 still. How does that happen? Is it in the family genes to be kind of fit and, you know, I mean, I'm in shape, as I always say, because round is a shape. But nevertheless, how does that work with you? How does that, I mean, you must know that it's not quite natural for someone to look as well and healthy as you did.
If you think I look well this morning.
But he does. I ain't saying it's the part that you must know you do, but is that natural, or do you like spend 8 hours a day at the dumbbells?
Not at all. I know. I don't do any of that.
Don't you?
I never do.
No.
Yeah, I haven't looked at a weight.
This just happens then, does it?
No, I'm really unhappy.
No. No, it's just my work. I work really hard and very physical. And, you know, I did 2,700 shows in Las Vegas in 6 years.
Yeah, sure. How many Barnums have you done?
No. Oh, you mean EFX?
Yeah.
Barnum. I played a character, Martin, in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did 2.5 years, 10 shows a week. So figure it out, 50 weeks a year.
See, people think playing Vase is just like picking up money in the street.
Oh yeah. Yes, it is. That's exactly what it's like. I rarely went into the casinos. When friends would come in town, I would do that. You know. But no, I mean, I viewed it as, you know, it's a serious job, man. Yeah. And it becomes such a grind.
If you had to, and I know you're gonna shy away from it, if you had to say one skill you do, is it as an entertainer,
no,
is a singer, is it, would you, if somebody said, David, we've got one more big gig for you, would it be in acting, singing, would it be on stage?
It would be all of it. It would be all of it, because I'd write it, I'd produce it, I'd write the music, and I'd start it, and that's what I've been doing. And including,
you must have a deep lust to do
something else.
The big movie.
The only movie I would have done.
Yeah.
That if it really came down to it, Kevin Spacey's doing it now, the Bobby Darin movie.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. I I've got about that. Yeah, we heard about that a couple of months ago. That is something.
I can cut that.
Yeah.
I grew up cutting my teeth on that stuff.
Nothing with Darin at the Copa album, which, again, we usually have with us.
Darin at the Copa is arguably one of the greatest albums. He was one of the greatest entertainers. Also a producer, songwriter,
uh-huh,
an actor.
Yeah.
Much like myself.
And somebody who...
Kind of a throwback.
Not only quite right, because somebody there who had the whole chart world at his feet and doing that and said, no, actually I do this better now.
Right.
Changed. And
right.
David, I just looked at the time. We're never late. We're out of time. I appreciate you more than you know being here.
Great
to
see you.
The CD you can hear playing in the background is A Touch of Blue, of course, out now with the bonus,
this week.
With the bonus CD. Hey, Jim, we've been with David Cassidy. There you go. 17-year-old David Cassidy.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Wearing a monitor. On 94.